Lord, our Savior is a risen Savior. And He's alive forevermore. I'm telling you, whoo, have you ever considered what He's done for you? What He completed there on Calvary? I'm just getting started, sister, just a little bit. You going to take the children? I'm just excited. I get excited on a resurrection day, and I want to give you a warm welcome to church this morning on this fine resurrection day that the Lord has given us. Couldn't ask for no better. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. If you will, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I preached last week on the road to the cross, which Jesus had to trod. But let me say this, it didn't end there at the cross, did it? Oh, if His death on the cross was the finality of Christ. In other words, if Christ was only died and He had never risen from the dead, then all of our hope would be hopeless. Did you know that? Be hopeless. Salvation would be unattainable because you can't work your way to heaven. Your faith and my faith would be faithless. Church attendance and worship would be in vain. It would be just another vain, empty, false, Christless religion. That's what it would be without the risen Savior. All the religions out there today of the world are in vain. They're Christless. People, I witness to them, what kind of religion are you? And I don't know what they're asking me. What am I? I'm a Baptist, up one side and down the other. Absolutely. But I tell them, I've got more than a religion. And let me explain that to you. That's what I start off with. See, being born again is more than a religion. Man comes up with religion. Oh, yeah. But God is the salvation. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost would not exist had it not been for the resurrection. All mankind would be dead men walking. All mankind would be forever doomed to eternal damnation in hell had it not been for Resurrection Day. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you realize today there would be no joy without the resurrection? There would be no pardon and forgiveness of sins without the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. Amen. Praise and glory to the resurrected Savior and soon coming King. Yes, indeed. We sung that song, "Because He Lives," and so forth. And the song, I know He lives because He lives. Where at? In my heart. Do you know Him today? Can you honestly sit here and say, I know Him today because He lives within my heart? If there's any doubt in your mind about that today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make that thing right and get it right with God. Christ's death on the cross is only part of the gospel. Did you know that? His death. I didn't finish it. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which is also received, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the gospel, my friend. There's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the skull of the sepulcher. Thank God for that. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that, my friend. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. That's the greatest words in your King James Bible, my friend. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord. My God. My Savior. My Redeemer. Father, I want to thank you this morning for sending your Son to die for me, to be buried. But not only that, but he came forth from the grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave, opening up the way to eternal life through you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, I don't take it lightly that you saved my wretched soul. Father, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I was undeserving of salvation. I deserved hell. Thank you for saving my soul. Father, if there's anyone here lost today, may the convicting power of the Holy Ghost convict their heart of their sin today. Convict their heart, Holy Ghost, of their need for a Savior. Don't let anyone walk out these doors today lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, may you have the preeminence in this service today. May you, Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up so that you'll draw all men unto you. And Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my friends, what a great, great and wonderful thing is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all, the necessity. There was a necessity of the resurrection. To become our Savior, Christ must not only be delivered for our offenses, but also be raised again for our justification. You'll find that in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. But also, we see in Isaiah, if you'll turn with me, Isaiah 53, very quickly. Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, starting verse 4. And all 12 of these verses pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the sake of time right here, I just want to go over a few things. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's why he died for you and I. Transgressors against God. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you realize this morning, by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he makes intercession for you and I, us being the transgressors. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. He took upon himself the chastisement that we deserved. With his stripes we are healed. Because all we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, my friend, the Bible says here he was oppressed. He was afflicted. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was cut off from the land of the living. Oh, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Oh, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Oh, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I, my friend. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Oh, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He has made the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and for my sin, my friend. You turn away that sacrifice. You reject that sacrifice for your sin. You don't apply that blood to your heart. My friend, you will die lost and end up in a place called hell. Oh my, the Bible continues to say, he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. My friend, when you get saved, he justifies you. It's just as if you've never sinned. That's right. Just as you've never sinned. In the eyes of God. Because when he looks at us, when we have Jesus Christ living within us, you know what God the Father sees? He sees his Son. He sees his Son. No more does he see our sin. No more, because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend. Cleansed by his blood. Oh, the Bible continues to say, he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Let me tell you something. What's mightily important about that, my friend? You and I are dirty, rotten sinners, my friend. Wicked, desperately wicked. And yet, the Holy One, the very Son of God that knew no sin, became sin for us. He came and took our sin upon himself. Have you ever thought about that? The one that was holy and righteous and unblameable, that knew no sin, took your sin and mine upon himself. Oh, what a loving God we have, my friend. Oh, and he bare the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Yes, indeed. Thank God for that payment that's paid in full. Salvation is paid in full. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ hath also hath once suffered for sins, the just," he's the just one, "for the unjust," we're the unjust, "that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Come alive, he did. He lives forevermore. All the necessity of his resurrection is so that you and I, who are sinners, that Christ, by his resurrection, might bring us to God, so that you and I could be justified by Christ before God the Father. And secondly, I like to say about the resurrection, the certainty of the resurrection. There's many that says he did not raise from the grave. There's many that says all his body was stolen. Or he didn't really die. They placed him in the grave because he was just kind of unconscious, and then he got up and walked out. Oh yeah? After being beaten and bloodied like that and tortured, I'm sure he had the strength to be able to roll that stone away by human strength, huh? No. No. I tell you how he rolled it away. By his godly strength. When he rose from the dead, you see. Yes, all power is given unto him. John 11:25, the certainty of his resurrection. John 11:25-26, Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" That's what Jesus said. At the end of verse 26. Is there one sitting here this morning, you have not believed thou this? Romans 6:9-11. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He suffered once for our sins and for all. Raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Verse 10, "For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christian, do you reckon yourself dead with Christ by his death, resurrection, and by his death and burial? But are you alive forevermore because of his resurrection? Or is sin still reigning in your mortal body? What is it? Thirdly, we see the promise of his resurrection. John 10:17-18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." That's the promise of his resurrection, my friend. Straight from the Father. God said, "I will raise you." He had promised that way back in Genesis, didn't he? With Abraham and Isaac. That was a prophecy. God shall provide himself a lamb. He provided his own son. Fourthly, we see the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Are we going around beaten down as born again Christians? You fall for everything that comes along out there? Do you stumble at everything that the devil throws across you? Where's your power? Where is the power of the resurrection that shows forth from you, my friend? We ought to exemplify the power of his resurrection. Paul the apostle said in Philippians 3:10, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, verse 10, he says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul had it. Paul wanted more of it. Yeah, he couldn't get enough of it. How about you? Can you get enough of Christ? Can you be filled up enough with the Holy Ghost that, "Oh, I'm just fine right here. This is my limit. This is all, as far as I want to walk with him. This is as far as I want to grow with him. This is as much as I want to know about him and no more. I'm satisfied where I'm at spiritually." Are you? Are you satisfied spiritually? Where you're at, your growth? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, my friend. Serving Christ is not a bed of roses, my friend. There's hurdles. There's problems. But with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go through them. You can go through them. You can have the victory through Christ. Oh, verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I have apprehend, that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Are you apprehended of Christ Jesus? Do you give him your all? Have you turned all of yourself over to him to follow after him? Is he the sole purpose of your being? Or is it something out there? Or maybe it's someone else. What is it? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I have learned over my Christian years: God does not want us to be stagnant in our growth as a Christian. God doesn't want us to be satisfied with the status quo. No, no. We should be pressing, going forward, and getting closer and knowing him more and more every day, you see. Let me say this. If you are stagnant in your growth and your walk with Christ, you're not going forward for him and reaching for that mark. My friend, let me tell you, you're backslidden already. And most Christians, oh, no, I'm not backslidden. I still read my Bible. I still pray. I've come to church. I say, if you're not growing with the Lord and going, if you're not closer today than you were yesterday, you're backslidden. Here are some things that we are looking forward to pertaining to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through 44. The Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Do you realize what Christ Jesus has done for you? The moment you got saved, the very moment you called upon the name of the Lord, my friend, he forgave you of all your sins and he brought you from being corrupt into incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Which one are you growing today? Which one are you feeding? The natural body or the spiritual body? It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Because of his resurrection, we have power to become the sons of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yet too many times we've allowed the charismatics to back us down from saying the power of God, or I want the power of God on my life. Yeah, because they do it the wrong way. They do it in a bunch of hoopla and show. But I'm talking about demonstrating the power of God in your life over having victory over sin. Showing your children and grandchildren how to live for God Almighty and be pleasing unto him. You see, that's the power of God. The power of his resurrection. Revelation 1:18. God gives us from his holy word the summation of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. It says in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You see, Jesus Christ spoke that. He said, amen. You know, it's all right to say amen. I've been in some churches that say, I'd be sitting there during a revival meeting or something. I'd shout out amen when the preacher said something I agreed with. Everybody would look around. I can't believe he said that in here. Wow. Looks like you all of a sudden just committed some heinous crime. It's all right to say amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it. Matter of fact, the very last word in your King James Bible is amen. Amen. Well, can I tell you more about him? Oh, I can't brag on my Lord Jesus Christ enough. But on this resurrection day, I want to brag on him as much as I possibly can. Oh, my friend, let me tell you. Might I say, because of the resurrection and in the power of his resurrection, he's invincible. The Lord Jesus Christ is invincible. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, my friend, for you and I. Oh, let me say, he's eternally steadfast. He's all-powerful, my friend. He's the doorway to the deliverance. He's the roadway to righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the sinner's only hope, my friend. You would have no hope without him. Oh, my friend, let me tell you some more about him. He's the only begotten Son of God. Not a Son of God, the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He's the final sacrifice. There's no need for any more sacrifice, my friend. Oh, his blood. His blood forgives sins. His blood cleanses all sin. Oh, yes, he's our great Redeemer, and I love him. My friend, let me tell you something. He's the way. He's the truth, and he's the life, my friend. In him we are satisfied. Through him we are justified. Through him we are sanctified because his blood has been applied. Oh, my friend, he is the Word, capital W. Look in your Bible in John chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, that word is capital W. Yes, he is the Word and the Word is him, my friend. Let me tell you that. Oh, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him, my friend. Oh, let me tell you, Pilate, he couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him. He is the resurrection and the life, my friend. That's Jesus, and he's alive forevermore. Oh, my friend, do you know him today with all heads bowed and eyes closed? All heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask you to stand. As the musician will come and play softly.